Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to begin looking at some things here within the next few weeks that evident truths about God's love for you. Evident truths about God's love for you. Now, if you have been, you know, if you're an adult and you know you're listened to much news media. Hey, Roy, come up here just a minute. I'm glad you're here. Come here a minute, Roy. I want to recognize you. I've got a gift for you right here. Amen. I tell you, many of y'all don't know Roy, but Roy is the biggest help to this church. Roy comes over here during the week, and he works, and he does odd jobs and helps us, and he paints, he cleans, he picks up stuff, and he's such a blessing to the church and to me. He helps so much, just do odd things, and Roy, you're a blessing to us, buddy. We want you to know that, how much you're a blessing. And if I'd known you was going to be here today, I'd had this officially prepared, but here, I want to bless you and be a blessing to you, Roy. We appreciate you. You're such a blessing to our lives, and give Roy a hand clap.
Roy's God's happy.
Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate you, Roy. You're a blessing for all that you do for us. But you know, I just saw Roy and it rose up in my heart, so I won't do that. But if you've listened to the news media much or you've been around very much, you know, we are, and as a pastor, there are things that I see, and I don't know that it's necessarily just because I'm a pastor, but there's things that I see in regard to the ideologies and beliefs that infiltrate our lives that I wanted to take a few weeks and just talk about some of those. I've been talking about them this past week on one of the radio programs that we do, but I want to take them and just elaborate a little bit more on them and show you why, from a biblical perspective, why the Lord doesn't want you caught up with them. And it's basically five different areas of materialism, humanism, socialism, Christianism, and absolutism. And so we're going to take a few weeks here and we're going to talk about these. We're going to talk about materialism and what materialism isn't, what it is and what it isn't, what prosperity is and isn't, and hopefully you can grasp what I want to accomplish out of this is I want to accomplish the fact that you can see the truth in any of these and recognize the deception, not fall for the deception and embrace the truth and let the blessing of the Lord work in your life. That's the goal. Amen? Because what I see with these different isms, I see things that can really hinder our Christian walk with the Lord. You know, Christianity is not an ism. And now, ism is an ideology or belief system that someone might have. And you know, Christianity is a reality. You're looking at something real in regard to the new birth, in regard to your life. And when we think about all of these isms, humanism is such a strong force in society today. And you could take each one of these. Let's take humanism, for example. You know, everything that people try to be politically correct about or religiously correct about has its roots in humanism. The reason we're afraid to say certain things that are wrong, the reason we're afraid to say that certain sins are wrong, certain situations are wrong. You know, used to when I was growing up, they would call adultery sin. Now they call it an affair. You know what I'm saying? It's gotten to where it's like, We try to coat over things rather than dealing truthfully with situations, because I think there's some aspects of all of these isms that are just really deceptions where the devil is wanting us to not embrace truth. It's like if you don't embrace truth, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." We want to be people of truth. We don't want to be people that live in a lie all of our lives. We don't want people that live in deception. We want to know the truth, and we want to experience, listen, not just head knowledge truth. We want to experience truth as a way of life. We want to experience truth in our hearts. Because once you really understand and grasp truth, you're not going to be so fearful of life. Your flesh is not going to be able to get a hold over your life. You're going to be able to see that God has such great things planned for your life, such great things in store for your life. You know, Tuesday is going to be Valentine's Day. And, you know, when you think about if you really love someone and you really care about them, you know, you really love them, you know, you're not thinking about ways to torment them. You're not thinking of ways to make their life miserable. You're not thinking of ways of trying to investigate, to catch, to try to make their life miserable. And I mean, if we as human beings, if we really love someone and we're not thinking about those type things, why would we think we're more holy than God and say in that aspect that God is wanting to torment us, that God is wanting to make our lives miserable, or that God is trying to catch us in something? You know, the Word says in Hebrews 4:12 that nothing is hidden from God. All things are open with Him with whom we have to do. Everything is open with God. I mean, we may think we got away with whatever, or we hid it from somebody or whatever, but you know, God knows. Amen. He's all-knowing. So, and you know what? He's all-knowing, but He still loves you. He still cares about you. He still wants the best for your life. And when we think about, when I think about that, you know, I think I was talking with, I guess it was Stephen this week, we were having coffee together, and I was just talking about Beth has had a sister that was born severely retarded. I mean, she was placed in a home when she was like 2 years old or something, and lived in that home until she was about a year and a half ago. Gail died, Beth. She was 54 years old when she died. And you think about a severely handicapped, mentally retarded child that had to be placed in a home for her care and her best interest. But you know, I've known Rosie, Beth's mother, for what, 35 years now. I never once did Rosie ever say, "Why did God or blame God for that?" Never once. She never thought, and I asked her about it. She said, "I never thought that God did it." She never thought that. She always thought that God loved her and helped her get through it. But you know, it's amazing how we want to, if we love someone, we care about them and we love them and we recognize that we want the best for them. Why would we not think the same about God? Why would we not think that God's love for us, He wants the best for us? It's almost like we think God is more of a wizard than He is a father. God's not a wizard. You know, He doesn't have a wand that He's magically waving over certain situations and certain things in our life. There is a whole lot involved in this life that has to do with man's free will. It has to do with the curse that's been put on the earth. It has to do with devils and demons. It has a lot to do with issues that really, if you think about it, God cannot like wave a magic wand. God's not a magician. He's a father. Amen. And if we can understand the love that God has for us, you know, we're never going to recognize, we're never going to not think that God does not want us to prosper in our lives. God wants you to prosper. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants every person to prosper in their lives. Now, we know that God doesn't always get His will, because He said in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, He's not willing that any should perish. So if He's not willing that any should perish, and we know that people are dying and perishing every day, going to hell, they're dying every day and going to hell. But God's not willing that they do. So we know that God doesn't always get His way. If He always got His way, you wouldn't be bitter about things. Man. Boy, that was happy, enthusiastic, amen. I said, if God always got His way, the church would never have to be concerned about money. If God always got His way, every Sunday school class would be full. Every church service would be full. People would be happy, loving each other. There would be no bitterness. There would be no strife. There would be no discord. See, everybody has a part to play in that. Aren't you glad? I mean, I'm glad that He gives us our free will. But see, when we think about it, when we think about materialism, see, materialism is not prosperity, and prosperity is not materialism. Materialism is the ideology that everything, the stuff in life, is more valuable than human beings. Materialism is not having things, it's things having you. Materialism and prosperity is not the fact that you have things in your life. You know, I mean, think about it. God doesn't mind you having things. You know, when you think about the life of Jesus, you know, that scripture there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let's read that. Beth, did you find it? Let me use your Bible here. I want to read that scripture because I want to... 1 Corinthians, what did I say? No, 2 Corinthians. All right, I'll get it right here. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse, let me make sure here I've got that right. I might have wrote down 2 Corinthians. I can quote it, but I don't want to quote it. I want you to see. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Is everybody there? All right, just checking. Are you there? All right. For notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. God wants you to have a full supply in your life. And see, if you've got the mentality in your life that God is against you, or God is against you having things, or God wants to prosper your life, it's always like you're afraid to step out into something. You're always afraid maybe that this job is not the right job, or maybe this house is not the right house, or maybe this is not right or that's not right. And you're always second guessing yourself about the prosperity that God wants you to bring. I've got some facts here that I want to share with you about Jesus and prosperity. Did y'all know that Jesus had a home? You know, people take that scripture where he says, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And they totally misconstrue that whole scripture. What Jesus was saying is, while I'm doing my earthly ministry and traveling around, I don't have an abode to stay in. I'm sleeping in different places, whatever. And if you're going to make that choice to be a disciple, you have to decide that you're going to put up with some hardships in life. He's not against people having a place to lay their head. He had a home in Capernaum. Jesus had a permanent home in Capernaum. The disciples said, Lord, show us where you live. He says, come on, I'll show you where I live. I'll show you where I dwell. That's found in John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 39th verse. Did you realize that that Herod's steward, his wife, Joanna. Now, could you imagine being a steward to the king? Your wife, Joanna, the Bible says that Joanna ministered to Jesus out of her substance. That old gal had some money, man, and she was soaking it into Jesus. Did you also realize that Jesus' ministry had a treasurer? He had to have a treasurer. Let me tell you something. You're not dealing with poverty if you've got a treasurer. Why would you have a treasurer if you were in poverty? Why would you even need a treasurer? You remember whenever they were sitting around at the Last Supper, and Jesus, one of the disciples, laid over on Jesus' breast, and then Judas laid there, and Judas said, "What?" Jesus told Judas, he said, "Whatever you do, do quickly." You know, it says the disciples thought that Jesus told him to go give something to the poor. Now here they are at this very serious dinner. This very serious meal, and the disciples are thinking one of them had been dismissed to go give something to the poor. Let me tell you something. That had to be an important part of Jesus' ministry, to give to the poor. Do you know, here's a thought that might really ring some bells. I don't know. You can't give something you don't have. Well, you know, Pastor Ron, all we want to do in our house is we want to pay our bills and help a few people and live life, and that's all. No, your vision's way too small. Amen. Your vision's way too small. There's too many people that need your help for you to have that type of vision. Do you know that Jesus didn't mind whenever the disciples, he came up on Peter's boat, and they had fished all night, and they hadn't caught anything. And you remember Jesus said, cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and they brought up so many fish out of the sea, that the boat wouldn't hold the fish that they had. Do you think that Jesus minded them having more than enough? No. He's the God that's more than enough. You know, David didn't say, my cup is half full. He said, my cup runs over. You know, when you think about God's desire for you to prosper in your life, The word, you know, the word rich just simply means to have a full supply and enough to give to every charitable donation in your life. Think about, God does not mind you being rich. And the reason I'm saying this is because, see, materialism, people that are materialistic minded, they will tell you not to have, you shouldn't have money. They're materialistic minded because they can't understand how you could have money and money not have you. I could have a bunch of money and it not have me. As a matter of fact, I've got a bunch of money, but it don't have me. Amen.
Amen.
I like money more than I like being poor. And you do too if you tell the truth. Amen. I mean, I lived in the projects when I was a kid, and I like having stuff. And as long as that stuff, see, the Lord doesn't mind you having stuff. Do y'all realize that Peter, James, and John had a fishing business and they had hired employees that worked for them in their business? Do you know not poor people don't employ other people? Did you ever think about that? Poor people don't employ other people. Poor people can't bless and help other people. I mean, financially they can other ways, and there's a lot of other ways you can help people. There's ways to give of your life to people. We don't want to be so materialistic, so money-minded, we can't realize that there's a lot of things that we can do to help people. But you know what? It's good sometimes to take someone out to eat and pay the bill. Well, thank y'all for that enthusiasm. I mean, when you think about it, in Acts chapter 24, think about this now. This is after Paul had been shipwrecked. You remember the shipwreck where they had to throw everything off the boat? They had to throw everything off the boat. He was shipwrecked on an island, you know, and healed the father there that had the bloody flux out of his mouth. There was a great healing revival on that island. Then Paul was put into prison. Listen to this. Felix, the king, held Paul in prison, the Bible says, in Acts 24, verse 26. You can look it up yourself. Because he expected to receive money from him. He held him in prison because he wanted to get money from him. Now, why? Think about this. Think about how God can take someone from being shipwrecked and naked and in peril and in sword and in famine all the way to the place where they were in prison and a king was waiting to get money from them. Folks, I think we need to quit being so fearful of money. We need to quit being so fearful of money. I tell you, people are fearful of money. All money is a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool. It's a tool. And listen, for us in the kingdom of God, all it is a tool to get the kingdom out. You know why the Lord wants you to prosper? You know why He wants you to prosper? The Lord wants you to prosper. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said he would give us the power to get wealth so that his covenant could be established on the earth. Amen. I get so, you know, it frustrates me a lot. You turn on Inside Edition or some of these shows, and they're always hounding preachers for getting money. You know, it's always like hounding preachers, you know, like they'll do a report about a certain preacher getting money. Let me tell you something. Whether that's true or not, you don't need to buy that. You don't need to bite that. You don't need to take that bait. You don't need to take that bait. Because I'm telling you, that's a bunch of malarkey to keep the kingdom of God from going forward. I don't care. Listen, if I send someone that I really enjoy, if I send them a large offering, do you know what? It's out of my hands. If they abuse it, that's between them and God. But if I give it, God's going to honor me whether or not they do what they're supposed to do with it or not. Amen. And I think we use that stuff. We use all that stuff. Well, I'm not going to go to church. All them preachers are crooked. All they're after is your money. Well, I'm not after your money. I was here before you got here. Amen. And I'm going to be here when you leave and go. I'm here. I'm not after your money. I'm after your heart. But you know what? It takes your money. It takes my money to get the kingdom out. Jesus, the reason God wants you to prosper, to establish His covenant. Well, I don't know if God wants me to do anything or not. Yeah, well, why are you breathing? Why are you here? Why are you on this earth? Think about it. Why are we here? We're here to do the Father's business. Amen? Boy, y'all are quiet today. Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. See, do we really care about the lost? Do we care? Listen, the lost need tending to. Amen. You know, I mean, I've gone to Africa to seek and to save the lost. You know what? The flight ticket to Africa ain't free. Here's a thought. The electricity on this building today is not free. And I mean, I'm not trying to put you on any guilt trip. If you can't give cheerfully, don't give. But I'm just saying, we need to realize that all the stuff that we're doing to seek and to save the lost, you can't do that without prosperity. You can't do that without a means to get the word to the people. The very Bible you've got in your hand could not have been printed without means. See, when we expand our thinking and we realize how much we are materialistic, when we are focusing on whether someone has more money than we think they should have, or whether that person is receiving offerings and they shouldn't receive offerings, they're materialistic. No, think about that. That is the attitude that you have. A person could have $10 million and still not be controlled by money. Amen. We want to recognize that God wants us to prosper. Somebody could say amen.
Amen.
God doesn't only want you to prosper. He wants the poorest person you know to prosper.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. We've got a responsibility to see that we prosper so that we can help to seek and save the lost.
That's right.
And if we've got this attitude about money that it's nasty and it's dirty and God doesn't have anything to do with money, you know what we're going to do? We're going to not want money. We're going to not attract it. It's going to stay away from our lives because we're thinking there's something bad about money. No, there's nothing bad about money, but money can be very bad in the hands of someone that's got a crooked heart.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Jesus said in John 10 that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly.
Right.
How many of you in this room have had little? I've had little.
Oh, yes.
How many of you in this room could say you've had a lot? I've had a lot. Lots better than little. Amen. You know, it's better to have a full tank of gas if you're going somewhere than it is to have a quarter of a tank and wonder if you're going to make it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's better to have a car that runs than it is to have a car to wonder every time you get in it, is it going to start? Or to know that you've got a car that when you drive it, there's not going to be water come up through the floorboard.
Amen.
Beth says amen to that. It's better to have a car that you can drive. See, we need to get past the religiosity of finances and prosperity and money and recognize it's okay for your life to prosper. There's nothing wrong with prosperity in your life. God wants you to prosper. He just doesn't want you to be into materialism. He doesn't want materialistic things to consume your mind and to consume your life. Jesus came that you might have life and have life in abundance. He's not El Cheapo. God's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. His name, his very name, El Shaddai, means the God that's more than enough. His name, Jehovah Jireh, means God will provide. That's what his name means. He will provide and he's God that's more than enough. See, why are we so afraid of that? Why are we so fearful of that? Because, listen, the world's got us convinced that if we just release our heart to God in regard to our finances, in regard to our life, in regard to our children, in regard to our relationships, if we say, God, you know, I'm releasing this to you, I release my life to you, that you're just an inferior person because you do that. No, you're a strong person when you do that. Because you recognize the strength of the Lord is all you have anyway. Amen. You know, in 1 Timothy 6:17, the Bible says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, some of these guys can testify to this. They take me out on their boat and go fishing or go hunting or something. And as soon as I get around it, I just start talking, saying, Father, I thank you that you give me richly all things to enjoy. that large mouth and that small mouth are mine to enjoy. Lord, I thank you for them big bucks. They're mine to enjoy. Lord, I thank you. You've given me all things richly to enjoy, and I just receive from your hand richly all things to enjoy.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with having things to enjoy.
That's right.
I can see I need to do a whole lot of teaching in this area.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to get over the fear of riches and prosperity, folks. We've got to get beyond that and realize that, you know, God's desire is for you to have a full supply.
Yes.
A full supply. More than enough. A full supply. And see, if we're afraid of it, we magnify it so that it becomes something bigger than God. I want to tell you something. You could take all the gold, the silver, the money. You could take everything on this earth and put it in a pile, and it's not bigger than God. Amen. You could take the thoughts and belief systems that people have about it, and it's not bigger than God. You know, prosperity, when I was studying about this, the Lord wanted me to interject some things about slothfulness. What it means to be slothful. You know, when you're a prosperous person, when you have a prosperity mentality, do you realize the things that you have are precious to you? The word says that the slothful don't appreciate the substance that they have. The word says that they are afraid of what's on the horizon. They say, there's a lion in the street. I can't get up and go out and do anything. There's a lion in the street. The government's going to fall. See, it's like always something negative, something to keep me from stretching, something to keep me from growing, something to keep me from prospering. Folks, let me tell you something. You can wake up every day of your life and find something wrong, or you can wake up every day of your life and find something to be thankful for. Prosperous people are thankful, and the substance that they have is very precious to them. Their health is precious to them. Their lives are precious to them. Their families are precious to them. When you have a prosperous mentality, you're not going to always think that there's a lion in the streets. Let me tell you something. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. There may be problems in this world, but folks, I'm telling you, our God is greater. Our God is greater than those problems, and we don't want to allow a slothful attitude to keep us from prospering. Slothfulness will keep you from prospering. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says the slothful brings his hand to his bosom and won't even take it out to feed himself. And I mean, that's several times that it's in the book of Proverbs. So I kept thinking, Lord, what are you saying in that? Because it's more than just someone putting their hand in their bosom and not feeding their mouth. And as I begin to research and begin to study that, what it means is you, if you are a slothful person, you can be a part of something that has life in it, but you will never partake of it. Because you're always finding fault. You're always looking, is this real? Is this God? You know, it's like, okay, after about 6 months, you ought to know. I mean, it's like, come on. It's like these guys that date these women for 10 years and won't marry them. Goodness gracious. I mean, if you've been going out a year or two, you ought to know by now. If you don't, then get another one and try it out. Amen? Don't just keep going on and on and on. Well, I just don't know if they're the right one. It's like, the slothful person puts their hand in their bosom and won't bring it out to feed themselves. The slothful person can be a part of something that has life and joy and prosperity, but they can't see it. They can't see it because they're afraid that there's a lion in the street. They're afraid. They're fearful. Don't be slothful. Let's be diligent and recognize it's okay to prosper in our lives. Prosperity is okay.
I want it.
I want it. Amen. Amen. I do too. I do too. You know the rich young ruler in the scriptures? He was the poorest. He was the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Listen to what Jesus said. Now, this flips some people out. This is in Luke 18:18. You can read it yourself. The rich young ruler came to Jesus like a lot of people do in their religious brogue. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know what Jesus said to him? He said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. That's what our master said to him. That's the first thing he said to him. Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. Jesus made this statement, and when he said that, what he was saying was, everything that you see good coming out of me is intrinsically coming out of God on the inside of me. But now think about it. Write it down, Luke 18:18. You can go there and look right now yourself if you don't believe me, which you should if you don't. Luke 18:18, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus didn't answer the question, but he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. I got a question for y'all. If Jesus said, why do you call me good? Why are we fighting so much to be good? If Jesus himself said, why do you call me good? Jesus recognized something that all of us need to recognize. His intrinsic goodness came from God, and so do yours. Amen. So does yours. Our goodness comes from God. It's because we're abiding in the vine that we're able to bear fruit. Anything, Jesus said this in Matthew 15, he said, any tree that my heavenly Father has not planted will be plucked up. It didn't say God would pluck it up, but it just said it would be plucked up, and it will be. But you know what? The rich young ruler, he went to Jesus and Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. He said, all of these I've kept from my youth. Listen to this. Jesus said, yet you lack. Listen to this. Yet you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. He said, you lack one thing. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to be good in your own strength, you're always going to lack something. Yes. Amen. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Now, I've read the book for years. You know, I've been a Bible student for 30 years. And I can't find any other person in the scriptures that Jesus said to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. I'm convinced that this Jesus was trying to get this man. And he said, you remember he said, come follow me. He was trying to get him to cut loose of the riches. Yes. He's trying to get him to see that riches is okay, but you need to follow the Lord. See, listen, God is concerned about every area of your life. Now, when we get on into this and we start talking about socialism and humanism, we're going to see the contradictions from what the world is trying to present to us to what the truth of what God says about those. See, the world, I heard somebody say this the other night on TV that they said Jesus was a socialist. No, he wasn't. Jesus was not a socialist. Those two guys, remember those two guys that got into an argument about their will, their inheritance, and they came to Jesus. One of the brothers said, Jesus, my brother won't share the inheritance with me. You know what Jesus said? He said, what do I have to do among you? Who made me a judge or a ruler over you? He said, take heed that you don't get into covetousness. The Lord's not concerned about you having stuff. He just don't want it to have you. He don't want you to be so consumed with stuff that you will destroy the people around you to get it. Amen. I tell you, the rich young ruler, to me, was one of the poorest men mentioned in the Bible because he didn't see where true wealth came from following the Lord. And he didn't see that. And I know God cares about us because, you know, he cares about natural stuff. You remember in Acts chapter, I believe it's, let me check here. In Acts, where Agabus, Acts 11. There was Acts 11, verse 28. Agabus, a prophet, prophesied to the saints that were at Jerusalem that there was going to be a great dearth. In other words, great famine in the land. And the reason God gave that word to the prophet was the prophet spoke it out to the saints that were there at Jerusalem, and they you know what they began to do? They began to take up offerings and take up ways that they could get money and stuff to the people that was going to experience the drought. See, I know God cares about that stuff. He cares about your well-being. He cares about you prospering. He cares about you. And listen, God doesn't mind You know, I heard this one story where God was speaking to this man. Listen to this. This is a great story. The Lord spoke to this man in his 20s and said, "Will you go to Africa for me?" And the man was in an altar praying, and the man got up from the altar and walked away and said, "Lord, no." And started an auto dealership, became very, very wealthy. I mean, very, very rich financially, very wealthy. And had all those years, I think he was in his 50s or 60s, and he came back to the altar one time in a meeting, you know, very wealthy man, came back to the altar one time in the meeting, and that same voice came to him and said, "Will you go to Africa?" And he finally surrendered his life and said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go to Africa." And then he said, the voice rose back up in him and said, "I never really wanted you to go. I wanted to know if you would or not." But he lived 30, 40 years with that pressure of thinking that he was running from the Lord.
Wow.
Most of the things that you think God wants you to do, he don't. He just wants your heart.
Amen.
He's wanting your heart to say, "Lord, I give my heart to you. I know, Lord, you don't, you know, he's not going to probably tell you to give everything you've got away. But you know what? If he needed it, he'd want you to be willing to give it. Why? Because he gave you the strength to get it. He gave you the wisdom and the strength and the breath to work and to get it. See, we need to quit being so materialistic minded. I hope I presented this in a way that you don't think I'm greedy or I'm covetous, because I'm not. You know, I'm not covetous. I'm not after masses of wealth. I'm after masses of people, but it takes wealth to get them. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I will never back down or be ashamed from receiving an offering, because we need finances in the kingdom of God just like you need them at your house to live.
Right.
Amen. So we recognize that God is not opposed to us prospering. Know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And that's talking about money. You can read that whole chapter. We didn't take the time to read that. But that chapter, he's talking about receiving offerings and telling that church there at Corinth that, listen, know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich.
Amen.
To have a full supply, to be a blessing in your life and to the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.